Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. The Bible teaches wives to submit to their husbands. Nowadays, few women buy into this. They feel marriage is more like a committee where decisions are based on consensus. Nevertheless, God intends that husbands lead and wives follow. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Pastor Lutzer continues a series on the marriage puzzle, why commitment can do what love can't. Let's turn to the Word of God to learn more about the puzzle of your needs and conflicts.
Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Fundamental need is a wife desires that her husband lead so that she can follow. Some of you wives read this passage of Scripture and already jitters are going through your body. You are full of fear. What do you mean, submit? If I were to submit, am I supposed to be a doormat? Can't you just hear it? I'm supposed to be a doormat. He's going to misuse me. He's going to mistreat me. He's going to even abuse me. By the way, that word abuse, that's a heavy laden term, and that's why the last message in this series on marriage is going to be on abuse. But most of you aren't in that category. What you're simply saying is, I don't like the fact that I have to be under his authority. And it's because you don't trust God. That's what it says in 1 Peter 3. It says, the ancient women, they hoped in God, and then they were submissive because you're trusting God. You're taking a risk, to be sure. But the fact is, if you do not respect your husband, and if you are not under his authority, you're going to have conflict in marriage. That's just the way it is. Now, I do need to clarify that when we talk about submission, it doesn't mean that you agree with your husband about everything. Obviously, you're not. It doesn't mean that you're going to stop thinking on your own and become a robot and stand in the middle of the room and watch him bark out orders and tell you what to do next. That's not what we're talking about. It doesn't even mean that you shouldn't try to change your husband's mind if he has crazy ideas. I think, for example, of Rebecca. She's saved me an awful lot of stupid decisions. I wouldn't make a major decision without consulting her and asking her input. So that's not what we're talking about. But what we're speaking about, as Piper likes to say, is a disposition on your part that you are going to follow while he leads and grant him that respect. Oh, but what if he's out of line? You don't lecture to him. You don't put him down, but you do entreat him and say, you know, I want to respect you. I want to follow you. But, you know, considering how you're acting over here, it's making it very, very difficult for me. Is there some way that we can resolve this? Because the Bible says that wives should submit to their husbands as the church submits to Christ. Take that in faith. Now, obviously, what else does she need? She needs love. Husbands, love your wives. You knew that it was coming up here in the text, because now we're in verse 25. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. That's the analogy. I've performed many weddings here at the Moody Church. As a matter of fact, I could write a book of cartoons of funny things that have happened in weddings. Get six pastors together and you'd have enough cartoons to fill a good-sized book. But when the wife is coming down the aisle, standing here to greet her is Jesus Christ. That's what Paul is saying. Husbands, you are to be Jesus Christ to your wife. Now, how many of you wives would say, I married Jesus? I know mine wouldn't. But that's the analogy. We're supposed to be Jesus Christ to our wives and love her as Christ loved the church. We say, well, how can we do that? Well, think about Jesus Christ's love for the church for just a moment. Does Jesus listen to you? Have you ever prayed and Jesus, in effect, said, look, I don't have time to listen to you now. Don't you know that there are huge world events going on and I'm preoccupied? No, Jesus listens to you. Gentlemen, there are some things I'm going to share directly from my heart to you, and the ladies don't even have to listen if they don't want to. It's for you. Our wives need communication. It's happened 100 times. I think that's a man who said amen. I don't know where this is going. It's happened 100 times in our home. Rebecca will tell me something, and 2 minutes later, I'm asking her about it. Clearly, I wasn't listening. Our wives need to talk, and we need to listen. And if you ever become impatient listening, ask yourself, does Jesus become impatient and say, hey, you know, you've prayed long enough. I've got other things to do. The other thing is servant leadership. Now, the Bible says that Jesus gave himself up. You have so many men who say, oh, you know, I'm willing to die for my wife. Well, I hope that you are. I hope that I am. But, you know, most of our wives, that's not where they're at. My wife is wondering, why don't you see that the garbage needs to be carried out? And start there. And then let's talk about dying for me further down the road. Gentlemen, listen. Ladies, you don't have to, but you can if you want. Let us suppose you had a plant in your room or in your house, a real plant, not artificial, a real one. You walk by it and you notice that it's got all of these brown leaves and it's shriveled up and it's not looking very good. And as you leave, you know, you say, hey, look at these brown leaves, and you throw them in the air. Say, you know, I'm so sick of looking at that plant. It doesn't look very good. I think it's time for me to get a new one. It's called divorce. Let me have somebody, you know, that still has some vibrancy. Let me find a plant with some green leaves and with some fruit on it. None of this dead stuff. I'm in a dead marriage. That's one response. The other response is to say, brown leaves. I'd like to do an analysis of the soil. And let's study the soil in which it grows. Let's make sure that the plant has water and know how much to water it and when to water it. And also, let us make sure that it has fertilizer. And let's see whether or not this shriveled plant can't begin to grow and to have green leaves again. I'm giving you reality in this message, all right? We are the soil in which our wives grow. And if we want to have a vibrant wife, if we want to have her satisfied, and my dear friend, put this up as a banner, use it as a bumper sticker, happy wife, happy life, all right? What we need to do is we need to understand her needs, because we are the soil in which she grows. We are the soil. Jesus is the soil in which we grow, and he gave himself up for the church. That is really love. We have to protect our wives. In one of the books I was reading, a couple was going through a museum, and they were looking at a Rembrandt painting. And of course, you're not supposed to touch paintings when you're in a museum. And their little child was reaching up to touch the painting, and the mother grabbed him and said, "You don't dare touch that. That's Rembrandt." My dear friend, if you don't touch a Rembrandt painting because you're honoring it, why do you allow anyone or anything touch your wife who's created in the image of God? She is heir with you of the hope of promise. She is the one that you swore to love. It is our responsibility to protect our wives. And then the Bible says to cleanse her with a washing of the water through the word. Men, you should take the initiative to pray with your wife. You say, well, I'm not very good at prayer. Most of us aren't. But your wife will appreciate the fact that you are taking that initiative. You are the spiritual leader. And if you aren't, learn to be in small ways, and God will bless you and enable you to lead her in bigger ways as time goes on. And then, again, you guys, I don't know, this is for us. We have to do something that Jesus never has to do. He never has to ask for forgiveness and say, "I'm sorry." But we do, and we need to do it often. I think Rebecca will testify that in our marriage, one of the things I've tried to do, no matter how upset I might be about something, I always like to be quick to say, "Look, I'm sorry, I messed up. Will you forgive me?" I don't see any possibility of a happy marriage without that. That's why, you remember I told you the story of here we are at the airport in Minneapolis, St. Paul, and a woman comes and sits next to us and says, "You must have been married for many years," because she had seen Rebecca buy something that I like to eat, and we're sitting there in harmony eating. And we said, "Yes." And then she said, "I'm going to get married." Remember that story? And she said to us, "What word of advice would you give to someone who's never been married before?" And Rebecca, just as quick as that, I was rolling my eyes and saying, "I don't know where in the world this is going." Just as quick as anything, Rebecca said, "Learn to forgive." And I thought, well, now, Rebecca, you should turn to me and thank me for the many times you have been able to practice that particular virtue, considering the man that you married. A wife's primary need is to be led and to be loved. What about the husband? Well, see that she respect her husband. It says in verse 33, to respect. Now, what that means, and when you add to that the whole issue of submission of the wife, husbands need someone who is reliable, who is dependable, whom they know. She's not the kind of woman who's spending money behind his back and doctoring the checkbook to cover it up. She's not the kind of person who's conniving. But the heart of her husband, the Bible says in Proverbs 31, the heart of her husband doth trust in her. All right, men. Let me answer a question that you have often asked. What does my wife want? I'll tell you in a single short sentence. She wants your heart. That's what she wants. She wants to know that she is number one in your heart. And after that, a lot of other things will work themselves out. Now, my friend, I want you to know that when we receive letters from people who are changed, when we receive emails, our hearts are blessed. I have here one from someone in prison. I won't read the whole thing to you, but he talks about the fact that he, as a prisoner, listens to Running to Win, and other prisoners listen. And he encourages me because he says that Running to Win is a ministry that is supporting those within the prison system who want to walk with God. Now, we could never receive an email or a letter like that were it not for you. Many of you have listened to Running to Win for many years. You've never connected with us. Become a part of the family. Go to moodymedia.org. That's moodymedia.org. Click on Endurance Partners. There you'll receive information how you can become a part of this ministry.
Erwin Lutzer with more on The Puzzle of Your Needs and Conflicts. Next time, words to men on what they must do to be the kind of leaders God wants them to be. The Marriage Puzzle Series can be yours on CD as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.